Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Creative Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. I am joined on this Thursday afternoon by Andrew Barron. Josh Allen's playing in the snow. Justin Fields is 7,600. There are just no playable cheap players. Just really on the entirety of the DraftKings website, you're really, we got nothing. We if you sort by value on DailyRoto.com, you're getting no punts. It's a tough scene, and we are gonna find a way. Really, at this point, I'm just looking to get to Thanksgiving. Just every day is just another day closer to that beautiful day of fantasy sports.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We presumably will do a pod for that. Gotta worry about that later. But yeah, this is a hilarious slate. Just looking, I saw the matchups. I looked a little at it like Sunday just to be like, all right, what's next week? Oh, that's cool. All 4 alpha quarterbacks are on the main slate. Like, it's easy. Just like those are the ones, you know, don't worry about it anywhere else. And just, you know, Fields is one of them now too. So we got 4. Great. No problem. Just jam those. What the Falcons have the second highest total on this slate. What? How the hell did that happen? Is this just all like East Coast weather based? I mean, some of the matchups are a
no. It's
weird,
that it's that, that all the team. It's that every team is bad and hurt, and it's week 11, and teams are losing, and teams don't care, and every team is running more in the NFL now because of the too high safety stuff, and teams have spent the last 5 years not investing in defensive tackles, so no one has good defensive tackles. So it's
except
just
the Commanders, which we saw on Monday.
Yeah, it's a tough scene. Yeah.
I mean, still, when it comes to quarterback, it's like you've got Lamar, Josh Allen, Fields is now in that category, and Hurts. They're all here. Like, I kind of just want to be like, just play 25% each. I mean, I understand the idea of like, the cheap guys are cheap enough, and it's different enough that like I can see it happening, but when all 4 of those guys are on the same slate, it's really hard to not envision one of them scoring 35.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. For my money, my favorite is Hurts. Mm-hmm. I think that our friends are not going to want to play Devonta Smith to the degree to which he should be played. And no one's going to play A.J. Brown because he's $8,000. And right. The aforementioned lack of value. I would probably rank my favorite plays of this slate right now at quarterback. I'd rank them Hurts, Allen, Lamar, Dak. I'll do respect to slate breaker Justin Fields. I will not be playing you at 7,600, but I wish you well, Justin.
Why not? What's the, like, is there a reason you don't want to play him at 7,600? You just not enough track record?
Well, mostly that I don't think he can just consistently get the 100-yard bonus every single game. And if you take away a 40-yard touchdown, then, you know, it's like 10 points worse per game. I mean, I don't know. It's mostly that.
Do you think the worst defensive line in football is going to be the one to do it, though?
No, and look, I'll probably just get roasted again. I didn't play Justin Fields last week at a cheaper price. I got absolutely spitballed. It'll probably happen again. My other concern is that this game ends up being done in about an hour and a half. Both teams are just calling runs on every single play. You know, drives are taking entire quarters, and the game ends 17-14, and there's been no punts, and the clock just like basically just acted like a rolling clock.
I mean, it is conceivable, and I do think, like, most sharp people are going to be like, oh, Justin Fields, it's only been two games, and now he's $1,000 more. I can't do it. But what he's doing, like, yeah, I mean, 180 yards rushing a week is not going to happen, but, like, he's throwing enough. Like, he really can compete with those guys, you know, especially you've got question marks. If Mark Andrews is very important to Lamar Jackson, Dallas Goedert kind of important to Jalen Hurts, who Jalen Hurts is like, has less pedigree than Justin Fields does, you know, like it could be real here. Josh Allen is maybe hurt and there's going to be 11 feet of snow in Buffalo. Like, I'm a little scared of him. So I think I'm fine with Fields. Like, the price bump concerns me, but then I'm like, I mean, this is funny, like, whining, but like last week had I actually played a fair amount of Christian Watson, and it was all on stupid Josh Allen teams because of the money it saved me. And it's like, if Justin Fields had been a little more expensive, I probably would have had some Christian Watson on Justin Fields teams. But I mean, I'm going, so it's Hurts for me, number one. I think he's kind of the highest optimal anyway. His like actual red zone rushing, like, he is their goal line back in the way that we like joke about with Josh Allen. Like, he really is. He's awesome there. Lamar is, you know, pretty similar. I like that right there as my number two. The one concern is the Carolina pace a little bit, but whatever. Fields, I'm going three. And then, like, I don't know. The Allen thing is going to be interesting. I want to talk through it a little bit with you. But, like, if it's that bad weather-wise, it's probably scary. I don't usually shy away from weather. But if it's that bad, that's another thing altogether. And that plus with the injury, plus he's been pretty bad lately, plus he's the most expensive of all of them. Kind of like, think I might go dip back my one Vom guy to be Mr. Dimes once more.
Dimes actually seems like a pretty strong play, because I actually think that in this slate, Dimes gets to 24. It literally might not even matter if Josh Allen and Lamar and Hurts get to 40, because there might not be a guy at 3,800 who gets you enough to make up the difference or whatever. Like, you might need a bunch of $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 players, and Dimes might be enough.
It's possible. I do. I mean, I think you're pretty screwed if, like, any of these guys on their top wide receiver combined for 55.
Sure.
And that's very likely, but I just, you know, Dimes is going to be 5-8% owned. And I think the hack with him, like, I talked about this last week, I ended up doing it incorrectly where I had a lot more Galladay than Slayton and whatever. Yeah. Dimes put up 19. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like everyone was drawing dead to Justin Fields, but the thesis of the play, as it were, on Daniel Jones last week was like, it's not enough to pair him with Wandale. I don't think that Greg Dortch type output brings along the quarterback. And so I think you needed one of the outside guys. And I ended up having, you know, a little more Galladay than Slayton, which was a bit of a bummer. Not that either of them really mattered anyway, but I think that's the way to do it. And Slayton had the big play, and that's how Daniel Dimes gets there, is he makes the one long, long play, which is something that Wandale is not really going to do. And he runs quite a bit. And that's, I think, totally fine again this week. I think Daniel Jones and Slayton. Galladay seems like it's over. I was kind of being like, dip my toes back in. Why not? But
And then
Mariota is cheaper than all of these guys, and he's on the second highest total. What do you
think? Yeah, Wandale.
I don't want to do it.
Yeah, Mariota can't get to 30. Literally incapable. And probably can't. Can he bring London? Can he bring Pitts? I don't know.
Pitts, he can. We're going to talk about Kyle Pitts for a while.
Pitts, he can. I mean, London. I don't believe has a 20-point game up until this point of the season. Not that he couldn't do it, but it feels unlikely. Yeah.
It was another like 3 for 58 at plus the touchdown last week, where it's like, it's pretty good, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It looked like his thing was going to be a little more scalable early, and it really hasn't gone up much.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really into Kirk Cousins. I'm not really into, I know people are going to be on Pickett this week. He's been running a little bit, whatever. No, I don't know. I'm not getting deep enough into the combos. Jones is the only guy at the top three I think I'd be interested in not playing. I don't know. It's Thursday. Maybe I'll change my mind.
Yeah, Dak and Cousins are, I do kind of like that game. I think I'm going to prefer the running backs from it. They're just an awkward price. Like, I'd rather dip all the way down because not only are they, like, $1,000 more.
All right, breaking Daniel news. Jones? Breaking Ooh, news. Buffalo Cleveland is getting moved to Detroit. So that game is now going to be Browns Bills is now taking place in a dome. So that total that was open at 48 got down to 41. It's probably going to go up to 50, I'd guess.
In a dome, you love to see it. Okay. Is that like, is it on the board right now? Has it come out? Let's see here.
No, I mean, this literally, like, this is within like the last 5 minutes.
42 and a half right now. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously Josh Allen is really good, and that makes it a little like even more what I was saying about, I don't want to play Kirk Cousins or Dak Prescott because, you know, they're not like, they're a little bit cheaper, but to really get them to smash, you've got the CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson are pretty expensive. I just don't think those combos really have enough outs to do it. And Daniel Jones, it's like so cheap. You can do it. You're doing it with Darius Slayton or whatever. You're doing it with a 4K receiver as well. And it's, yeah, is it way less likely to work? I mean, the floor is so much lower for Dimes and Slayton than it is for Cousins and Jefferson or Dak and CeeDee. But I think the ceiling per dollar is higher on the Giants.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah. I honestly at this point, I mean, I will probably just Josh Allen in a dome. Gotta see what happens to ownership, but feels pretty
this
good.
Might go to my original first instinct, which was like, okay, we've got Lamar, Josh Allen, and Hurts, which are the best three. Fields is really pushed himself into that tier. Just those are the guys. Just don't bother with anyone else because those are the guys that can score 35.
Yeah. Okay. Running back. Man, boy, do I wish there were a lot more good plays than there are. The guys who are currently
like it. There's so many failure points. Like it's kind of you can talk yourself.
It's pretty similar. Pretty similar to last week, where there were a very finite number of guys projected really strong, and two of them totally busted. Right, Kamara and Damian Pierce both not in optimal. So this week, the guys on DraftKings getting positive value projections: Joe Mixon at 7,400, Jonathan Taylor at 7.8, Ramondre at 67, Kamara at 76, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, and Damian Pierce. Obviously, Tony Pollard, I've not put Zeke back in the projections yet. If he practices in full on, because he practiced last week too. If he practices in full on Friday, I'll move him back in.
Okay. Yeah, Pollard looks like insane leverage right now, but that is just because of the because we don't have Zeke and
everyone else has Zeke back in.
Does. Yeah, exactly. So Taylor, top optimal probability, and he's actually like, I don't think he'll get all that popular. He's 7,800. It's a huge price bomb. Eagles are a monster defense. I can get there just because I think, you know, he's definitely in that top tier. And well, is he as attractive as Mixon or Ramondre? I don't think so, but yeah, I think he's fine. Mixon is probably my favorite play up top. Pittsburgh stinks. Mixon's getting a lot of work.
You like the guy who scored 5 touchdowns in his most recent game?
Yeah,
that's your official position.
Absolutely.
I mean,
second in the league in runs inside the 5 behind Jalen Hurts. So,
well, just let me tell you this:
for touchdowns,
Brian Robinson is priced at 5,300. He doesn't look like chalk right now. Let me tell you, you get to your contest on Sunday, this fella is going to be 20% owned in your daily fantasy contest. I feel very confident he is going to be the late Sunday steam guy. The touts are going to start talking about it. Houston, historically bad rushing defense, yada, yada, so on and so forth.
I love to hear this because I definitely wrote down that we need to talk about the Washington running backs. And
yeah, I'm jamming A. Gibson.
Yep. I think he's a better play because it's like truly a split, just a dead even split as far as the rushing goes and the snaps go. But Gibson will catch a couple passes. It's not like what I talked about a lot earlier in the year when we were having our Damian Harris versus Ramondre arguments, where it's like, yeah, but Harris does get preferential treatment on the like true goal line work. And that's not the case here. It's just whoever was in that drive, you know. It's not, they're dead split even since Robinson has come back in those opportunities. It was the same last week. There was like 5 rushes for Gibson in the red zone and 4 for Robinson. And then Gibson has the, you know, the slight, the receiving work too. So Houston's a they're god awful. And Gibson's also got better like big play ability. So if Robinson's gonna be chalk, I love it. I love Gibson. Yeah.
I mean, look, I am just guessing, but I feel pretty good about this guess, is where I'm at.
I'm really intrigued by that. I like it.
Cordarrelle Patterson and Damian Williams are, or not Damian Williams, David Montgomery, are both leverage on Fields. Patterson is just, you know, grinding out 18 carries, 66 yards, and two touchdowns. That's keeping Fields off the field. And David Montgomery
barely play. Is Algier out or something?
So Patterson came back off the IR, played 33% of the snaps, but got 14 touches and two rushing touchdowns. Then, as a 31-year-old coming off of his first time getting tackled in 6 weeks, they played 4 days later, so they limited his touches and played Algier and Huntley Moore. I'm pretty confident he'll be back up to the 50% lead dog over. I think Caleb Huntley is going to get squeezed quite a bit. Algier should be fine, but I think the Huntley stuff is going to pretty much go away. So, again, we're guessing, but that's my guess.
Yeah, if that becomes the narrative and people want to do that at all, like, I think I'm off of it. It's like Chicago is such a terrible run defense. They're home favorites. They got the second highest total. It's going to be the third once the Bills go back up. But I don't know, man. I don't think whatever. I've really never played Cordero. He's like one of the, like, it just never has worked where I've ended up playing him. And every once in a while he goes nuts.
Yeah.
I think I'll be fine dying on that sword, whatever the phrase is there that I mangled, because I like doing that. Josh Jacobs?
Sure, whatever. Can't get excited about the Las Vegas Raiders against Denver. He's fine. He's totally fine.
They have a 19 total. And he's $7,500. Like, yeah, the workload's great. And if they score,
I probably would play Jamal Williams against the Giants at 6,000. Honestly, that's probably
a
couple other stabs. I mean, I'm not making any of these plays, but Michael Carter and Damian Harris in that Jets Patriots game. I mean, Damian Harris 1% owned, mega leverage. The Patriots are touchdown home favorites. Pretty classic spot.
He hasn't been back to playing in a while, right?
He came back and then he got sick. So he came back from injury and then he was sick before their bye week.
Okay. So. Yeah, I mean, I think that's actually, I like that then. That's a good stab to take, because Ramondre, I think, will end up being one of the two or three most popular. People are prioritizing the expensive receivers this week. So it's definitely a leverage build to try to go to do more expensive running backs and try to save a receiver. I mean, that is, it's roulette. It's ugly, but you know, there's probably a few receivers who are going to spike that are cheaper. So.
Yep. All right. Well, let's figure out these high priced wide receivers. Cooper Kupp removed from our decision. So our projection on CD is super bullish, like way more bullish than other sites, but I'm looking at it and I'm looking at my projection. I'm like, this projection is fine. So I wonder, I don't know. I will look more into that, but I'm literally sitting here looking at all the inputs and they all look fine by me. Maybe it's that he has 2% market share of rush, which is his market share of rush on the year anyway. I don't know. I gotta figure
out. The inputs are good. I think you're fine, dude. It's his usage is elite. It's just as good as all those other guys. You know, he had Cooper Rush throwing to him for a while, and he kind of ran bad for a while. CD's right up there. I think he's totally fine. I would definitely be prioritizing him in cash, I think, but he's probably going to be very popular.
I don't know if people will play him in cash. He got bumped up, and people are going to play Amon-Ra St. Brown. People are really going to want to play Stephon Diggs now.
That's a good point, actually.
The cash wide receivers, I bet now are probably going to be Diggs, St. Brown, McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, I don't know what projections are going to look like. Yeah, I mean, like, so my, and this is something with our projections in general because of the way they're all set up, but we tend to skew a little high. We tend to skew like 5 to 10% high just because of the way the thing is built. But I am like a point and a half higher than the market aggregate on CD, which I'm actually, honestly, I'm fine with. Whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, historically with us, like, I went back for a long time, and including, like, the old days when it was, you know, like, Dink and Leone, and who are now the Established the Run guys, or, you know, even back then, we tend to overproject slightly for fantasy. You know, it's always, like, a little bit high. You know, like, we're projecting 5 yards more than a prop oftentimes, because we're projecting a mean, not a median, and they are right skewed. Like, the higher outcomes are there. So, like, you know, the 50th percentile projection, the median, is going to be actually lower than, like, what we're projecting, because we're trying to project, because what we end up projecting is an average. So it ends up a little bit high, but that's okay. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot, right? There's Jefferson and Devontae. Like, I think Devontae is going to get talked about a lot because he's had two monster smashes in a row.
No one's playing this dude.
No one's playing Devontae again?
Patrick Surtain the second.
Okay. Patrick Surtain the first?
Yeah, it's his kid. I think he's allowed like 7 catches in coverage or something all year. I don't know. It's like something insane. I mean, obviously I'm not the guy to talk about wide receiver cornerback matchups too, but he is like destroyed everybody all year. I mean, the most owned wide receivers are gonna be McLaurin, CeeDee, and St. Brown for sure. And then there's a huge drop off. The thing that feels the worst to me that people are doing is Jonathan Taylor's going to be chalk, and I think that's good chalk. I don't think that Paris Campbell is good chalk. In fact, I think Paris Campbell is bad chalk.
Yeah. Oh my God. He's been very frustrating over the years as well, because when someone goes down, whatever, he's the slot receiver, so his role doesn't change when one of the outside guys goes down. He's just been being used in better ways lately. I think he's okay. I'd rather play Michael Pittman as my bring back in a Hurts stack, because he's pretty cheap. And he's got, I mean, Michael Pittman needs double digit targets. He has like 2 30 point games on the year, and like in 3 of his last 4 games, he has 9 targets and has put up like 11 fantasy points. So, but once he gets to double digits, both times that's happened, it's 30 points. So, I don't know. Pittman just, I would much rather play than Paris Campbell. I just kind of can't get there, but maybe that's my own long-term bias, but not really for me. Not really for me. DJ Moore, very cheap. Nice run back in the Baltimore game. He's just, it's his team is terrible, and that's been a real problem, but he is, like CD, he's got the, you know, 30% market share targets, 100 plus air yards every week. Like, it's really good usage. Can someone throw him the ball?
I mean, I don't know. Can Baker do it? Probably not. Although that has been the weakness for the Ravens, is they've struggled against deep passing. Not that Baker is that good of a deep passer. I'll be playing 0.0% of Cortland Sutton, whether or not Jerry Jeudy plays. No interest. The Denver Broncos are the worst offense in the NFL. They are worst in total points by like 20. I mean, it's really embarrassing. I like Garrett Wilson a good bit. I like Nico Collins. I would like him a lot less were he 5% less owned, but what can you do?
Do you think the Broncos are that bad, or it's a little more like Green Bay, where it's like, they're pretty bad, but it's also been a lot of like running bad in the red zone? Because, I mean, they've moved the ball okay. They're putting up yards. Sutton gets, you know, he's another guy who's got close to 100 air yards a week. I think the weeks are coming for him, but I don't know.
I mean, the Denver Broncos in yards per play are worse than the Giants, the Texans, the Jets, the Panthers. I mean, they are closer to like the Sam Ellinger Colts than they are to a good offense. It's pretty bad.
No, I mean, they've certainly been bad.
And more importantly, I think they can win this game like 17-10 or whatever. Like the Raiders seem like an imploding ship. Like this game, if I had to rank all games in the main slate in probability, their odds to, you know, go nuts in terms of scoring, this would probably be my bottom one.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not like super excited about it. It's a pretty, it's a pernicious environment overall. You got going into Denver and like the, I don't know, McDaniel stinks.
You playing Ben Skowronek or Van Jefferson or Allen Robinson, removing 30% of the target share from the Rams offense?
I was gonna ask you, should I?
No shot. If I was gonna play one of them, it would be Skowronek. He's got the best price, and I think he is the most natural fit to play in the slot. Like Van Jefferson's a deep route runner. I mean, I don't know. Or maybe playing in the slot allows Allen Robinson to finally create more than 1 yard of separation. He's like the worst separator in the entire NFL. So maybe playing against linebackers in the slot allows him to get some separation.
Maybe. I mean, the other problem is the Rams offensive line is just an absolute train wreck. And the Saints secondary has really struggled, but their front seven is still pretty good. So I think they'll be getting pretty strong pressure. Is Stafford definitely coming back?
There was a report today that he is,
Okay. They have an 18 total. It's quite bad. I can get into Olave, though.
Sure.
I dug in a little just because, his usage was so good that we were like, okay, this is like Justin Jefferson level, could be, just a best player in fantasy kind of stuff. And it's not been good lately. And it seems like Dalton's been really bad. But I remember early on checking PFF, being like, oh, Dalton's actually playing pretty well, according to them. Like when they go in and actually look at each throw, he's still rating well for them. He's still putting up like a 70 grade every week. He has. Listen, are they the be-all, end-all? No. But do they watch every single play and go there and check it out in a way that I won't? Yep. So he has 6 interceptions on 3 turnover-worthy throws in his last 4 games. So it does seem like he's running pretty bad. I also think Olave is not the type that will get, like, Jalen Ramsey shadow coverage. He's like a little burner. So I think him running down the field, getting a couple bombs from Dalton, is in play. He's expensive enough that I don't think he'll be very popular either. 6,800 is a little bit of an uncomfortable price tag, but
yeah, no one's playing him. As I mentioned, Devonta Smith is my favorite wide receiver play of the slate, so I'll be playing a lot of him, both with Jalen Hurts and without him.
Yeah, and Jahan, I really like the Eagles all around.
And Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin going to be stone chalk. Dotson came off of being injured, played limited snaps last week, should be back to full snaps this week, and he's pretty good.
I just think that, so McLaurin is awesome. Yes, he's got a 32% market share of targets, 115 air yards in the per game in the 4 games since Heinicke took over. But man, it's just, Houston is so bad as a run defense, and we watched, like everyone saw in primetime, like what happens if they can do it. Like, they are happy to continue running the ball. And if they can do that with a lead and just salt the game away, that is, to be fair, I think maybe a script that favors Brian Robinson a little bit more. But they ran 41 times against the Eagles and held on to the ball for 67 of the 60 minutes. So I think that is what they will probably try to do and should be relatively successful against Houston. So if McLaurin ends up being 20% owned or something like that, Pacheco, my guy, some of the Slack thing just won't stop going off right now. I would be quite a bit under on that, I think.
Yeah, that seems fine by me. So tight end, generally not really that interesting. Most weeks it doesn't matter, but double tight end is going to be, as it was last week, super popular, ended up being the shipper, right? Ended up being double tight end and ended up winning the Millie Maker and the Spy, I believe. So this week, going to be the same deal. Hayden Hurst, big value. Dalton Schultz, big value. I'm definitely not playing Tyler Higbee. I would play a little bit of Dulcich. I actually think all these guys are fine. I think I'd play all these guys if they were eligible at wide receiver. Hurst, Schultz, Higbee, Dulcich, Freiermuth, Pitts, Hawkinson, Juwan Johnson, Foster Moreau, Tyler Conklin, likely, and Oliver if Andrews doesn't play. All the best, because DraftKings has boosted every wide receiver up in salary, but whatever their, if tight end, then max X, you know, 10% X of previous week's salary or whatever, like whatever function they have left for tight end pricing in their algorithm, means that, well, the wide receivers are escalating in price. Tight ends of a similar caliber, target range and everything are also not escalating.
Yeah, you got the, it's been this way for pretty much all year where it's like, okay, Kelsey and Andrews can be over $6,000, but no one else is allowed to be. Yeah, I think it's really compelling to stack Pitts and Kmet and Justin Fields, like play them together in that game. That's not going to be sneaky or anything, but I don't think people are really going after it because Fields gets a huge price bump. 4,100 for Cole Kmet is not something people really want to do, I don't think. He's been so cheap for so long, but he sure is getting a lot of work. He's definitely the first guy that Fields looks to in the red zone. I do really like Mooney as well, actually. I did want to mention that in the wide receiver stuff. The rest of their wide receiver core has been confusing, to say the least. Like, they got, you know, we were talking last week, and it's like, it looks like Pettis is going to get put on ice, but then they're working Pringle back and Claypool. Like, they're all – Pettis didn't really see his workload go down that much. Equanimeous St. Brown, those guys are all playing, like, 30, 40% of the snaps. So it's really just Mooney that's out there all the time and Kmet that's out there all the time. So I think you can, unless you want to get really cute in your, you know, when you're playing hundreds and hundreds of lineups, you can dabble with the others, but I do play hundreds and hundreds of lineups. And I think I'm mostly just sticking to Kmet and Mooney to stack with Fields.
Yeah. But Kmet might not play, bro.
Oh,
he's banged.
You should have interrupted me. I didn't know that. He's such great leverage?
I got enough rope
to hang myself.
Yeah, I mean, he could end up playing or whatever. The problem is, though, is that I don't see, there's not, like, just because of what you were saying, I was going to let you finish your point so I didn't have to go through all the snap share stuff, which is that doesn't, I mean, Mooney cannot play, Kmet cannot play, it doesn't really matter because they're just going to play like nine guys. They're going to have Trevon Wesco in there and Keel Harry will be back and active and Khalil Herbert's out, but Tristan Ebner will be, you know, it'll just be, and they don't, I mean,
Jones.
Justin Fields' best game, most throws per game. I think he's got one game above 30 attempts. Like, it's all efficiency based. So I don't want to play Velus Jones in a game where I'm trying to get efficiency.
Yeah, I don't even want to double stack him like Fields. I think it is a lot of that. So I'm with you there. Isaiah Likely, yeah, he's really good if Mark Andrews is out. I don't think I want to go there if Andrews is in, because Oliver is their blocking tight end. He's the one that's in line all the time. Like, Andrews and Likely both play like 70% as slot receivers. So they're not lining up in line at tight end. And Oliver is the guy that does that. And I don't think his job will go away. I do think Likely gets kind of screwed if Andrews plays. So
yeah,
and I have a feeling people are going to talk themselves into, like, well, he's as good as a wide receiver, why don't they play him at wide receiver? And it's like, it's not going to work. Never, you know, that just, people don't play other positions, you know, that's really not what happens, because you know, the wide receiver is a premium position and tight end just has very different skills. So I don't think generally that would work. And like, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara should play wide receiver. Those guys would be the worst wide receivers in the NFL if that was their full-time job.
Yeah. My take is I will play Hayden Hurst chalk. I'll play Dalton Schultz chalk. I'll play Dulcich, Freiermuth, Pitts. Pitts seems pretty appealing at 4,400. If Kyle Pitts is going to be 11%. But the thing I will not do is I will not play Tyler Higbee chalk. You can't make me, and I simply won't do it. Guy stinks. He legit stinks.
Yeah. Okay, so on this slate, for the last four games in air yards per game, this is in all positions. It goes Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, DJ Moore, CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Adams, Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown, and then Kyle Pitts. So he is getting that workload. He is catching 2 of 9 targets every week, but like, that's unsustainably impossible. I think Kyle Pitts is a monster play this week. They're downfield targets, like, they're just not hooking up. I know Mariota stinks, but like, you can't be that bad, right?
He's pretty bad.
I know, but it's like, it's impossible. It's like when Trey Young, remember like Trey Young's rookie year when everyone was really frustrated to play him in DFS because he was shooting like 18% from
no,
three.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is the way better example of this, where he's taking like 27 shots per night, making 4 of them. But then the one night a week where he made 50% of his shots, he scored like 60.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's, it's just like, these guys are not going to be NBA players if they're not there. And Trae Young was the, you know, fourth overall pick. So it's, you know, there's, the pedigree is there. Kyle Pitts, like, is going to do a little better here. There's going to be some spike weeks, as the kids like to say.
Yeah.
Do you want to tout Dalton Schultz, or is he too expensive for you?
No. He's a good play, but he is just super owned. So I probably would prefer to play him in game stacks as opposed to a one-off. I would, any lineup where I was playing a different game stack, I would probably just play Pitts, who's $100 okay. less.
Pitts is definitely the premium one-off here, I think.
Yeah. Defenses. I mean, really just don't play the Steelers. That's really all I got for you. Steelers will be 40% owned in your single entry contest, maybe more. I do really like the Raiders actually against the Broncos. Not one person on earth wants to click the Raiders, but at aforementioned, the Denver Broncos stink butt.
Yeah, the Rams and Saints are both like 3K or less against each other. Houston and Washington are both pretty cheap against each other. I mean, Washington's 3,100. Like, that's fine. Like, they're actually pretty good defense, and they've been really good lately.
Mm-hmm.
Davis Mills is bad, you know? Like, it's the Texans are a really, really awful team. So I think there's a fair bit of upside there. I think you could do – I think you can talk yourself into – Cleveland at 2,300, especially now that it's in a dome. I think the snow almost would have made people want to do it more because, like, it keeps the points down a little bit potentially for Buffalo. But, like, when it's slippery and gross out like that, then the interceptions or the fumbles, like, have a harder chance of getting returned. So Cleveland, like, has some real playmakers. They're a very fast defense. And Josh Allen has been like a bonehead lately. If that continues at all, you know, 2,300, I'd rather play them than Pittsburgh. It, 1/10 of the ownership and the exact same price.
Yeah. I think that seems fine. Favorite stack of the week, Jalen Hurts. $2,500 $2,500 tight end. Jack Stoll, Grant Calcaterra. I don't care. Because Dallas Goedert's out. Calcaterra is the pass catcher. Jack Stoll is literally a right tackle from the University of Nebraska, and he looks exactly like what you think a tight end from the University of Nebraska would look like. Calcaterra went to OU, was a Mackey candidate, retired due to concussions, came back a year later or 18 months later to play for SMU, had like 870 receptions as a senior at SMU, drafted in the NFL. He's good.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, Philly is definitely mine as of press time for sure by like a long shot. And then Chicago is number two, going with Fields. I like that game for the bringbacks a little bit better. I really, really like Kyle Pitts. I think that he's going to have a 30-point game just like Christian Watson. I was banging that drum all week and then finally happened. And thank you, by the way, because I was like, yeah. Like, it's going to happen. But he was pretty far out of my mind at that point that you got me to like really stand on my own ground a little bit and be like, all right, I got to play this guy. And the smash was there. It was great. And then Buffalo, I'm very curious to see how it shakes out with Buffalo, like what their owner, because Diggs was already looking popular, but what their total gets back up to, what their ownership percentages are going to be. That's really big information that we don't currently have. But obviously, we will keep all of that stuff.
Well, those dudes, I'll just tell you right now, that game is going to get jammed. Amari, DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones is going to end up being super popular.
Right, and if the Bills get to a 29-point total, they should be. They're going to be the highest optimal probability stack. I'm just interested in, is Allen to Diggs going to end up with Allen at 18% and Diggs at 28%? Because that might be a little much. But if it does, that also really, really is going to depress the ownership on Hurts and Fields and Lamar even more. Those guys are awesome plays too.
Yeah. That's it. That's all I got. You got anything else?
Not really. Just the Giants. You can go there. Oh, and the props tool is up at sportsgrid.com/NFL. I don't know. If you just go to sportsgrid.com, there's a menu drop down that will show you NFL player props. We have a model for that. It's running. Things are good. Get some edge if you like to bet on prop bets, you can have my computer tell you which ones we like the most.
Show enough. All right, everyone, we're getting out of here. I'll be back tomorrow with Rich. See y'all then.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.